It's been more than a week since a leak from an oil pipeline off the coast of California was first detected. Beaches have been closed and a cleanup effort for both the environment and local wildlife is underway. A spill is one of the great fears with any pipeline above or below water. We're going to get the latest now from California, then look closer to home at the Enbridge Line 3 project. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How closely have you been following Line 3 or Line 5 in the Midwest? Is this something that you are focused on, maybe worried about? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Earlier today, I talked to Hannah Fry, Metro reporter covering Orange County for the Los Angeles Times. Hannah, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, for people here in the Midwest following this story from afar, can you bring us up to speed on the basics and what's happened over the last week?
Yeah, so really this got started last Friday evening, and that's when a boater first noticed kind of a sheen on the water off the coast of Huntington Beach. So what happened was they reported this, and satellite imagery showed without certainty, but with a high likelihood that there was petroleum in the water. Now, the Coast Guard couldn't confirm this until early Saturday morning. And so that's really when, by about Saturday afternoon, the public was notified there's an oil spill off the coast of Orange County. It's probably going to be coming ashore fairly soon. The early estimates were that it was going to come ashore Monday. As we know, that did not come to pass. It ended up coming ashore really early Sunday morning.
Can you set the scene for us? What is it like when this oil spill is showing up on a local beach, a local shoreline?
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on the beach. In the case of this oil spill, Huntington Beach has really been the hardest hit. So what reporters on the ground were seeing were kind of these ribbons of oil on the sand. Other beaches have seen kind of tar patties, these big splotches of oil and tar washing up on their beaches. So it really depends on the stretch of sand that you're on.
What's the ecological threat, the biggest worry, I guess, at this point?
You know, I think there's a lot of worries, and there's some, you know, ecological threats that we're not going to see, you know, the full picture of, I think, for weeks and weeks. Some environmentalists are saying, you know, over the course of months. Right now, we've seen quite a few oiled birds. I think they have recovered 65 oiled birds as of yesterday morning. 38 of those were dead when they were recovered. There's also been 9 fish that have washed up dead as a result of this oil spill. And that's just, you know, over the course of the last week.
Talking to Hannah Fry. She covers Orange County for the Los Angeles Times, getting the latest on an oil spill from a pipeline, an underwater pipeline. What do we know, Hannah, at this point about what caused this leak?
So there's still a lot of unanswered questions surrounding what prompted this leak. What Coast Guard officials are saying right now is that they believe the pipeline was clipped by an anchor. They're not sure when that happened. The latest on that was they're looking at a period that could go back months, if not a year. So initially, they believe the pipeline was struck by an anchor and was displaced, but that the leak probably didn't start at that moment. It could have started later with another anchor strike, or just kind of environmental corrosion, wear and tear on the pipeline then later caused it to leak. But they're still really trying to pinpoint when that leak started and what caused that leak.
When I think of pipelines under salt water, I guess I think of the Gulf Coast and Louisiana and places like that. Apparently, you also have them in California. What are these pipelines running from and to?
So these pipelines, especially this one, this is running from the Port of Long Beach, which is just north of Orange County, out into an offshore oil platform, and it's called ELLI. And so these send, you know, oil from these platforms to the port.
What do we know about the company's response? When did they find out about this spill? How quickly did they respond?
So there's a lot of uncertainty around that. The company is saying that they learned about this spill shortly after 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. That's when they realized there was oil in the water. Now, federal regulators have said that an alarm was going off in their control room as early as 2:30 in the morning. So it's really unclear when they learned about this and how quickly the pipeline was shut down. I believe the latest we reported was that it took about 3 hours to shut down that pipeline.
How much oil has spilled? And I understand that estimate has changed over time.
It has. It's changed. It's varied wildly, actually. So right now they're saying as little as 24,000 or as much as 131,000 gallons. So it's a huge range. And that's something that I think is going to take quite some time for them to figure out.
What does a cleanup effort for something like this look like?
Oh, there's thousands of people working on this. There's people cleaning along the beach, carrying shovels and bags and picking up, you know, clumps of oil and tar balls and putting them in. So far, I think they've gathered about 250,000 pounds of oily debris from the shoreline from Huntington Beach down to San Diego County. And then they're also cleaning up by vessel. So they've deployed booms to kind of contain the oil in the water and then allow vessels to kind of suck up and clean up that oil. And I think they've gathered about 5,500 gallons of crude oil by sea.
Now, it's still early days, but is there a conversation about accountability if somebody's going to be held liable and have to pay for damages here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the question on a lot of people's minds as this unfolds. You know, who's to blame and you know, what were the early hours of the response? Could it have gone better? Could it have been faster? I think these are all things that the investigators are going to be probing.
And then are there thoughts as to, hey, we've got these pipelines down there. Are we doing enough to, I guess, maintain them, make sure an anchor that hit them, say, 8 months ago or whatever, isn't getting ready to cause a leak tomorrow?
Yes. From what I understand, there's a lot of there's a lot of anger, I think, among some residents who, you know, understand that California is rooted in oil production and that's the past and really would like to see the state and the country overall move away from this type of use. So I know that this incident has renewed those calls among environmentalists and some politicians as well.
As we wrap up, Hannah, what are you watching for next on this story?
You know, I think we're keeping an eye on what's coming out of this investigation and looking at, you know, what happened in the first early hours of this incident, and also, you know, monitoring the cleanup effort and just seeing how long it's going to take before the beaches are brought back to their natural beauty.
Hannah, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hannah Fry is a Metro reporter covering Orange County for the LA Times. We talked to her about an investigation into an oil spill over a week ago off the shores of Huntington Beach and how the cleanup is going. Coming up, we'll talk to Duluth Superior Region reporter about Enbridge oil pipeline projects that affect us here in the Midwest. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been following Enbridge's Line 3 or Line 5 projects and the protests and lawsuits surrounding them? What questions do you have about where they are now? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and your questions. Or you can email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up that conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk now about energy pipelines. Earlier, we caught up on the spill and cleanup effort in California off Orange County. Now we're going to look closer to home with pipeline projects in Wisconsin and around the Midwest. Brooks Johnson covers Duluth for the Star Tribune. Brooks, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Well, the big story now, the big development is the Enbridge Line 3 pipeline. We'll dig into the history of that a little bit soon, but it is, as I understand it, Brooks, up and running now. Is that right?
It is. Oil has begun flowing through the pipeline, which begins in Alberta and carries tar sands oil, a very thick, heavy crude oil, into the U.S. through North Dakota, Minnesota, and a little bit of Wisconsin to Enbridge's terminal in Superior.
Talk about some of the history and controversy, if you will, about Line 3. What did it take to get here?
More than 6 years of regulatory process, protests, lawsuits, and most recently, 9 months of construction in Minnesota. So the 340 miles of pipeline across Minnesota was the last to be completed. The Canadian stretch and then the parts of North Dakota and Wisconsin were completed several years ago. There were many holdups in the state, including just a lengthy permitting process, several lawsuits launched by environmental and indigenous activists, opponents of the pipeline. And generally, it's been a long time coming for the company. Enbridge says, you know, the pipeline is necessary to more safely transport oil across the state. The company already has six pipelines that cross Minnesota. And it says that line three is it's a replacement for a 50-year-old pipeline. And they say it's a needed safety improvement. Opponents, of course, say that any fossil fuel infrastructure should not be built in the face of climate change.
And we were just talking about this spill in California. Is that a concern raised by opponents of the line, the risk of a spill, maybe not today, maybe not in a year, but down the road sometime?
Absolutely. I mean, that's been the focal point of protests over Line 3 over the years, is that, you know, you're putting very sensitive wetlands, especially Minnesota and in northern Minnesota where it crosses, at risk of oil spills. There have been spills in Minnesota, and there was a major one in southwest Michigan in 2010 involving pipelines. And so, you know, opponents have said, you know, we can't risk spilling. And this pipeline, the replacement, the Line 3 replacement, actually crosses in part a new stretch of the state instead of following the existing corridor where pipelines are crossing now. So opponents have said this opens a new part of the state to potential environmental degradation. Enbridge's response is that, you know, if we were just to continue operating Line 3 as is, you know, it presents a higher risk of spill because it's needed increased maintenance in recent years.
You've at the Star Tribune, there's been reporting on some damage to an aquifer. Now, a leak, not an oil leak or a natural gas leak, but a water leak involved in the production process. What happened?
Yeah, so this happened in January, actually. An aquifer was punctured near Clearwater, Minnesota. And so this artesian groundwater has been welling up for more than 8 months, which has wasted about 24 million gallons of water. And it's threatened to dry out two rare and protected wetland areas called fens. And so this breach, the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources revealed a problem last month, and it is ordering Enbridge to pay $3.3 million for the damage and give it 30 days to stop, essentially to cork the aquifer to stop the flow of water.
We're talking about pipelines in the Midwest, oil pipelines. Brooks Johnson is with us for the Star Tribune. You can join in with your thoughts and questions. Have you been following the story of these Enbridge pipelines, supporting them in your community, protesting them maybe? What questions or thoughts do you have on the need for pipelines? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Now, with Line 3, Brooks, you mentioned it's a new pipeline replacing an existing one, and the route changed somewhat. What went into that decision to move it in a slightly different direction?
Yeah, part of that was to avoid crossing Red Lake Band of Ojibwe land, which the existing corridor does now cross. That's about in the north central part of the state in Cass County, and so that was a major part of it. You know, the Enbridge has said, you know, it's been working with tribes all along to try to satisfy, you know, environmental concerns, and you know, has hired tribal resource folks to come out and watch construction. And so that all was in response, of course, to indigenous protests and folks who have been involved all along. But the route itself, as approved by the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission last year for the final time, did reflect concerns of crossing treaty territory and a reservation.
As you mentioned, this was years in the making, protests, lawsuits along the way. Now that it's up and running, are there still lawsuits out there trying to stop it, or is this just pretty much a fact of life now?
Well, there's one federal lawsuit remaining that's in the That's in D.C., actually. And so folks are suing the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers over its water and wetlands permit that were granted for Line 3's construction. So there is still a chance that this gets a closer look. We've seen a similar situation happen with Dakota Access. But essentially, you know, pipeline opponents had hoped that their suits and their actions, protests would get Joe Biden's President Joe Biden's attention and say, you know, follow up on your climate promises. But the federal government has continued its support for the permit and is defending it in court.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jay is on the line in Two Rivers. Jay, hi.
Good afternoon. Given the hundreds of millions of tax dollars that we have given the hugely profitable oil industry over the decades, I'm wondering if these subsidies would be better put toward monitoring oil flow and increasing the number of valves and automatic systems, because it seems every time there's an oil spill, wherever it is, huge amounts of oil pollute either the land, the rivers, or our other water bodies. And here in Wisconsin, I know my city of Two Rivers relies on Lake Michigan for its fresh water, as do so many others. And given that it's Indigenous Peoples Day here in Wisconsin, I think we'd be much better served if we would transfer these subsidies away from the oil industry and give it to the original Americans, because we're still using their land to transfer the oil over.
Jay, thanks a lot for the call. A lot there, Brooks. First of all, safety precautions, the kind of shutoffs and leak detection measures that Jay was talking about there. What does the company say about the safety measures they have in place, especially on a new pipeline like the new Line 3?
Yeah, well, of course, they say that they have state-of-the-art controls and monitoring on it, and they've also built a new Line 3 with a thicker pipe, so it's far less likely to rupture at all. As per the specifics of monitoring and such, it's what Enbridge says is the very best they can do. And a lot has been talked about Line 5, which runs in part through the Straits of Mackinac. And so that's another Enbridge pipeline that runs from Superior into Ontario, in part through the UP and into Michigan. And so there is a battle there going on about potential damage to the Great Lakes from an oil spill. And so that's been very closely watched.
Thanks a lot for that call, Jay. Jay also brought up some of the money angles. I don't know if one of these pipelines is going through my town or my county or tribal lands. Does somebody get paid for that? I don't know how that works at all.
Yeah, easements are negotiated with landowners along the route, and that happens sort of as part of the permitting process. What's also going to happen is that the old Line 3 is going to be decommissioned, meaning it'll be cleaned out and largely left in place, but landowners will be either paid to leave it in their land or have it removed at Enbridge's expense. The easements had to be bought and lined up well before any construction could begin.
Brooks, we've been talking mostly about Line 3. You just mentioned Line 5, which does have an underwater stretch. What is the latest on Line 5 right now? There are so many pipelines going on, it can be easy to lose track.
Right. This one moves about 23 million gallons of oil and natural gas liquids between Superior, Wisconsin and Sarnia, Ontario, through parts of northern Michigan and Wisconsin. And right now it's sort of in a legal limbo. So Michigan governor has tried to shut down the flow of oil through the Straits of Mackinac, and that has been defied by Enbridge so far. And right now, Canada is backing its company, Enbridge, by invoking a treaty with the United States and asking a judge to suspend litigation over Michigan's effort to shut down that oil pipeline. So the battle continues. It's hard to say what's going to happen next, but it appears that there's going to be mediators and federal interventions happening now.
Well, now Line 3 coming one way hits Duluth Superior. Line 5 comes out of Duluth Superior going the other way. People may not know that the Twin Ports there are such a big hub for oil distribution. Can you talk about how big a role they play?
It really is. Superior has an oil refinery, which, of course, in 2018 had a major fire, an explosion that and is still being repaired. But there's also, of course, a major Enbridge pipeline terminal that handles just millions and millions of gallons every day, flowing from Canada down to refineries throughout the Midwest and beyond. And so the Superior does benefit from this in through state taxes. Millions of dollars per year go into the city budget. And, you know, I've just taken a recent look through those budgets, and they've been able to keep property taxes pretty stable as a result. So no question that there is support for it locally. But at the same time, we're still seeing divisions that have been created by this project. I was driving across northern Minnesota just last week, and there are still pro and anti Line 3 signs dotting the highways.
In our last minute or so, Brooks, what are you watching for next on the pipeline beat?
Well, we got to see how litigation wraps up. And there is another suit that an interesting one that was filed in Whiter Tribal Court with Wild Rice as the lead plaintiff. So this is a rights of nature case that hasn't been tried in a tribal court before. But backers say that this gives the plant something that folks are looking to protect from oil spills, a voice and a chance for it to be protected.
Brooks, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Brooks Johnson. He covers Duluth for the Star Tribune. We talked to him today about the Line 3 pipeline of Enbridge, its impact on the landscape, and how we can compare the project to what we've seen from an underwater oil pipeline rupture off the coast in Orange County, California. We talked earlier to an LA Times reporter who's been following that story.